audio.
Welcome to the Sports Reverends Podcast. My name is Dan. I'm joined with my co-host, the coach, also known as my big bro, Joel. He's coached around the globe. He does a great job, one-of-a-kind kind of coach. And we are here to share some sports talk, but also some faith talk and how sports has affected our lives and in a positive way and taught us a lot of things. So that's what this podcast is about. Coach, why don't we start with how you're doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's middle of November, and we still have no snow. Haven't cracked on my winter jacket. I haven't shoveled any driveways yet this year. So, great spot. Great spot. How are you?
I don't think we expect snow here in Toronto till January. So, that's great. That's great. I'm doing well as well. I did go back to Winnipeg when it was snowing, and I got to shovel Pop's driveway a couple times there, but I'm doing good as well. I've been loving this season of sports. It's so much going on. There's hockey, football, basketball, in-season tournament, and just beautiful. I love it.
It's almost like you need multiple TVs to watch this thing.
This guy, if you guys look close enough, you'll understand what he's talking about.
You'll understand what he's talking about.
Okay, why don't you walk us through the rundown of our show, and then we'll get into it.
Perfect. You kind of already hit most of it, but we got some quick hitters. Talk some NFL. We will talk, not really sure how to coin this, but talking about co-opting faith into how you want to put it into your own jar. I don't know, making your faith however you want to make it feel for yourself. So we'll talk a bit about Megan Rapinoe, and if we got time, contenders pretenders for basketball right now. So we'll see how this goes. Why don't you start us off with our first quick hitter?
Quick hitter news. Here we go. Deshaun Watson needs shoulder surgery and will be out for the rest of the 2023 season.
I love those picks. Draymond Green puts Rudy Gobert in a headlock last night, resulting in three ejections, and I believe he got a 5-game ban.
Wow, 5 games. Rory McIlroy resigns as player director on PGA Tour Policy Board.
Chipped soccer balls will be used for VAR, video assisted referee, for those who don't know, at Euro 2024.
Can you just explain what that all means?
So VAR is like, you know how in tennis you have that eagle eye?
No, the chip soccer ball. Everyone knows video replay. Okay.
The chip, they're just putting a chip into the soccer ball. So if it crosses the goal line, it counts.
Okay.
They can VAR bet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last one. Baltimore Orioles, Brandon Hyde, and Miami Marlins Skip Shoemaker are the AL-NL managers of the year. Before we go anywhere else, let's handle some business. This organization's near and dear to my heart because I get to run it. It's called Urban Hope. It's our mentorship program for kids and youth that we run downtown Toronto. It's an opportunity to help kids and youth learn these mentorship skills, learn discipline, learn how to work, learn how to be successful in life. And we encourage them. We offer them a safe place where they know they can go to hang out and get off the streets. And we also have programs that we run, drop-in programs, youth programs, kids programs. We run summer camps. We're running a basketball program. All these things we do to serve our downtown community, serve kids that don't necessarily have all the opportunities to enjoy these kind of programs, including our summer camps, for example. Most summer camps cost about $150 a week. We only charge $10 per week so that any family can send their kids to our summer camps. And we do that through donations and subsidies. And that's how we make that happen, because we offer, in my opinion, and probably a lot of testimonies, that we offer an incredible summer camp, and every kid leaves happy and learns a lot and loves our community loves it. So if you're able to support in any kind of way, especially if you live in Canada, you can receive a tax receipt. We are a registered charity. So if you're able to give in any kind of way, check out thesportsreverends.com/sponsors. You can see the link in our YouTube bio as well. And if any way you can help support, please consider doing that as we continue to, you know, build up the next generation and pour into their lives. All right, Coach, it's all you.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but two former Urban Hope kids have run summer camps.
That is absolutely correct. We had two kids grown up through the program. One has now graduated university. One is in their third year, and they have been this last summer, they fully ran the summer camps on their own. I was there just as an overseer. I did help out a little bit in that sense as like a volunteer, but they ran it. They ran the registrations, the waiver forms, the programming, all that stuff. They did all the details. They kept the budget and they did an excellent job. So they're great success stories, and we want to continue to see more of those great success stories.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Big shout out to Levi and Caleb. Let's roll over to topic number one, week 10, NFL. Just a couple games here to bring up. We'll leave that one for last. How about that? Just give you a bit of – we always kind of kill you on that. So we'll give you a bit of love today. Let's look at New Orleans and the Vikings. Dobbs comes through again. What were your thoughts on this? Did you watch the full game?
I've been watching Red Zone, so we would catch all the scoring portions of the games. And the Joshua Dobbs era has begun in Minnesota. I was just telling you earlier, I saw a fan who on Instagram, I believe on a reel, shave off their eyebrows. I don't know if it's offensive or supportive for Joshua Dobbs, but they did it for Joshua Dobbs. They believe in him, and what a great story. What a great just a week and a half ago he was there. They brought him in, traded him in, and he's won two games, 2-0. Good for him. Yep. I heard he's a brilliant guy too. Some like award from NASA was given to him, so whatever the details are on that. This is a smart guy. Good for him. I'm smart proud. Guy. Yeah.
We read a few articles where, you know, he lives, eats, and breathes football. Mm. All he does is spend time at the facility, getting to know his teammates, getting to know the playbook. And I mean, you don't hear about those kind of stories too often about guys who just put in the work. And I guess, you know, in sports, like, as you know, it's just about getting the opportunity. You may have the skills, but for a variety of reasons, from politics to seniority to the coach's decisions, all kinds of stuff, some people just don't get the opportunity. And Dobbs has come in. I think he's definitely taking advantage. That's for sure. AFC North is the wide open now. Cleveland to Baltimore. Baltimore going down. Yikes. Yikes, 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 yikes. Didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, that's really tough to see after the Deshaun Watson news, because that was such a comeback. I couldn't believe they came back and won that game. But that AFC North, it is a absolute bloodbath in that division. It doesn't matter how bad the team is that year; it's always going to be a fight. But this year, they all look pretty good. They all look pretty decent. So I don't know. Baltimore, heading into this week, in my opinion, looked like the best team in the NFL. And for about two and a half quarters of that game, they looked like the best team in the NFL. Then all things failed. So, wow.
The team known for its defense just collapses, hey? Unbelievable. Well, just as of right now, Baltimore 7-3. Steelers are 6-3, which is also very surprising.
Crazy.
Cleveland is 6-3, and the Bengals are 5-4. So, very, very tight division there for sure. We'll see. Can Lamar pull off a strong game this week against another division rival? We'll see. But let's jump to my heartbreak. Even though Allen scored, I think, 19 fantasy points for me, Denver to Buffalo. Has Denver turned the corner? Did Sean Payton fix Russell Wilson? What is going on here?
I believe he's tied the amount of touchdowns this year as he did all of last year already. Russell Wilson and the Broncos have received a whole bunch of flack. But Russell Wilson's playing really good. Like that, he's gone so totally under the radar of how good he's played. It hasn't been flashy. Hasn't been the big deep ball that he's used to throwing to DK Metcalf. but it's been consistent. It's been a great he's shown great pocket accuracy, which has been something you don't really you haven't seen that much of for him. So yeah, Sean Payton, give him his flowers right now. Good for them.
That's incredible. I think from the gong show that was last year, even though there's still only 4-5, I mean, the Chiefs obviously have this division wrapped up, but they could sneak into that playoff if they keep playing well. So Buffalo going the opposite direction, just fired the offensive coordinator. Josh Allen came out and said that he feels bad because he's the one who lobbied for him and the players failed him. So you don't often hear that coming out either. So that's good to hear a player taking kind of ownership, but Buffalo, tough spot to be in. Miami 6-3, Buffalo's 5-5, the Jets are 4-5, the Patriots are 2-8, so no one cares about them. But again,
so
not where we want them to be.
Trayvon Diggs for the Cowboys, injured all year, brother of Stephon Diggs. Trayvon Diggs has once again started lobbying for get Stephon Diggs out of Buffalo. They're not using him right. And you know what? You like between brothers, you know, that's like, you know what's going to be brought up by media and how it's going to be intertwined and all that stuff. I don't think there is no hurt feelings from Stephon Diggs in this scenario. I think there's some truth at least to him being that upset about being there. And this offensive coordinator, I think, is also deserve to be fired. They don't have a run game still. They put Josh Allen in too many times to get hurt, in my opinion. They have weapons. They have weapons. They have two great tight ends. They have obviously Diggs and other weapons out there. So they should be more deadly, more consistent on the offensive end. Got to mix it up more. Got to have more. They have to be have a fear of running the ball other than Josh Allen.
Yeah. No, that's true. Like, you can't have your quarterback be your best running threat. Halfway through the season, sitting second in the division or the conference, division. Not the worst position to be in, but it's time to go for a run. Time to go on a run and see where that takes them. And then the best game of the week for you, Giants at Dallas. Sorry, Dad, to bring this one up, but is Dak catching his groove or is it just flash in the pan because they're playing the Giants?
Yeah, be honest. It's, you know what? I think it is. It's more than just Dak catching a groove. I think, obviously, the Cowboys are better than the Giants. One of the biggest margins of victory in their division throughout their history as Dallas has played New York. You know what? I think it's just good for Dak's confidence overall. That's the biggest takeaway from it all. I think it's good for Dak's confidence. It's good for the team to be able to, like, they have Carolina next. They have, I believe, the Seahawks in 3 weeks. And they have one other team that is weak as well. The next 3 weeks.
They have the Panthers, Commanders, Seahawks.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and then the Eagles.
So they before they face the Eagles, they could be 9-3. Let's take a look at the Eagles' schedule. I'll let you read that out because I believe they have three tough games against one of your boys.
Come on. Here we go. Looks like Chiefs, Bills, Niners, and then Cowboys. So that's a rough stretch there.
So that there's this division. Do the Eagles go win all four of those? I don't think so. Do they win half of those? Maybe.
Maybe.
Right. Maybe. Yeah. They could go 1-3 in that situation. So this division is wide open. I think it's going to be a great stretch. It's going to be a fun clash, and I think the Cowboys. That last Philly and Dallas game, I think, was very entertaining, very close, and it's exciting. So I think they're right there. This is like the first time, you know, every year Cowboys fans, we say, this is our year. This is an actual feeling where I do believe in them for real. It's like Kawhi with the Raptors. I have a hope, and it's a real hope, not a false homer.
Bravado.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So
we're knock on wood. Hope everybody stays healthy.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see. It was a good week. Definitely a lot of games ending in a field goal. I think it was 5 in total. so a record for the NFL. So yeah, because I think we were watching together, and it was like red zone was just all over the place. So it was a good time. Good time. Looking the week ahead, not a ton of games that kind of caught the eye, but on Sunday we got Cincy at Baltimore.
Big one.
Big game here. Big game. If Joe Burrow can pull it off, bring this team to a victory, that division is just done. It's just who don't know who's going to get the game. But I think it helps that it's at Baltimore.
Oof, that's tough.
That's my thing.
Who are you picking?
I'm picking Baltimore by three.
Okay, I'll take Joe Burrow, and just because I want to see them make the playoffs. I like Cincinnati. So,
all right, okay, we'll see. Now the Monday nighter.
Ooh,
Philly at KC. It can go one of two ways. Either it's gonna be super close, and it's hard to pick, or KC just blows them out. I don't think there's a chance where Philly blows them out because it's an Arrowhead, but I think it's gonna be a close. I personally hope it's gonna be a close game.
Yeah, it's an exciting Monday nighter. Like, it's really kind of unfair for Philly. This is a Cowboys fan talking, because the Chiefs are coming off a bye and it's on Monday, so it's an extra day too. So it's more rest. They're gonna be fired up, ready to go. Travis Kelce spent his bye week seeing Miss Swift at concert, and he's fired up. He's gonna have a big game Monday nighter. She's gonna be there for sure.
Maybe he'll have some jet lag. You never know.
Yeah,
I guess flying private's a different story.
Yeah, I think so.
I can't imagine he's to be at the airport 2 hours early.
No.
Yeah. Oh, great. So, who are you picking, Philly or KC?
I'm taking Philly. It'll be by plus three, whatever the under is. I'm hitting the under if I was a better. Okay. So, it's gonna be not a high scoring game.
No. Hopefully entertaining though. Hopefully entertaining. All right. Let's jump to our real talk section for today.
Woo!
I had a hard time quantifying how we're gonna talk about this, but. I'll read this for you, and I'll read the quote from our good.
Don't say that.
I wouldn't say good friend.
Yeah, don't say good friend.
And definitely not a follower of the pod. Megan Rapinoe. This is a quote she gave after her very last game, and just listen and see and kind of get the vibe from here. I'm not a religious person or anything, obviously. If there was a God, like, this is proof that there isn't. This is effed up. It's just effed up. 6 minutes in, and I eat my Achilles. So it's a very self-serving quote. What are your initial impressions before we go anywhere else? What are your initial impressions when you heard this quote?
You know, when I heard this quote, it was just like, this is such a classic superstar athlete that's so self-absorbed. It's this self-absorbed, not even just superstar athlete, I'm going to say most professional athletes, they're self-absorbed. Yes. They don't know how to read a room. It's all about them. And Miss, is it Rapinoe or Rapinoe, whatever your choice,
whatever.
Miss Rapinoe, she has, in my opinion, always been serving self in all kinds of areas. Yeah, I believe she wanted Team USA to always win, but her agenda for many things have been majorly self-serving. So she is fighting for women's rights and women's equal play and all that kind of stuff. But then at the same breath, she's also saying, let's have biological men play sports with us and all that kind of thing. So I don't think she has any kind of agenda, but agenda to serve herself. And that's not uncommon. There are many that are like that. I saw Jordan Poole this last week. He's in the huddle, right? And his coach, I forget the coach's name, a son of a star NBA player. Anyways, he's teaching the team, and he's just off in Jordan Poole land, walking around, not paying attention. His teammates, the assistant coach, are trying to get him to pay attention. And he you can see him mouth back, "This is my team. Don't matter, blah blah blah." And just like that is like, I don't care if you're LeBron James level of greatness. Yeah. You don't do that. That's so bad. And it's just the idea of, you know, the self-serving attitude that athletes have. I don't put any blame on them, because I think many people have that in our world today. This idea of we're entitled because of this and that. And I think that kind of embodies of what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. Tagging on the Jordan Poole thing. He said, "I won a championship. I got paid. Now it's time for me to do my thing." It's like, man, you were a bit piece on the Warriors run.
Yep.
You were not the guy.
Nope.
You disappeared for a couple playoff runs, that's for sure.
Yep.
Now you're talking about owning the team. Your Washington Wizards are like last or second last.
2-8.
The Eastern Conference.
Yep.
Like, to see that is absolutely nuts. And I think partially it's, you know, fans' fault. You know, we worship and idolatrize athletes and celebrities. And I mean, thinking back on when I played basketball in a small gym with maybe 50 people showed out, hearing people cheer for you is addicting. It's definitely a drug. So you see an athlete playing in front of tens of thousands of people, you know, concerts going with hundreds of thousands of people saying, "Hey, you are the person. You are amazing. I'm giving you my $300 to be here because of you." And of course it's addicting. Of course it's self-serving. I think what is challenging is that, and I think Charles Barkley had it right, that he's not a role model, but we expect these athletes to have the right takes. We expect them to be well-educated. We expect them to, quote unquote, do the right thing. But when they take a stand on things, most of the time, they have no idea what they're talking about. Let's just use the example of trans women in sports. Megan Rapinoe, she fought for equal pay. Great. Even though that didn't make any sense. The title was equal pay. All right, fine. But then it's still like, hey, let dudes play sports with high school girls. It doesn't impact her. She's not losing a roster spot. She's not losing a job or any endorsements. But kids are losing scholarships. Kids are losing their self of what their identity is as a male or female. Because you decide to dye your hair and call Sue Bird the best basketball player in the entire world. Like, it's sickening. It's sad. And the fact that she even got more playtime, who cares? Like, it's like you said, self-serving, suiting their needs. It's, you know, when I hear somebody saying, "Oh, my life is hard," I'm thinking of the poor person getting bombed in Palestine because Hamas is sitting behind them with rockets, right? I'm thinking of the people in Ukraine who are fighting because the Russians have crossed the border. I'm thinking of the people who are starving because they can't have enough food. That's the woe is me story. Not, "Oh, I hurt my Achilles, but I'm done."
There is no God.
Like, it sucks, but bad things happen. That's part of life. We live in a sinful world, and bad stuff is going to happen. But again, you can't just say, "I'm not religious, but this proves there's no God." That the correlation is just so sick and twisted. And it shows you what's in that person's heart.
Yeah.
Right? And the rhetoric they're going to push out. And I'm sure, you know, now that her playing days are done, she'll be on ESPN talking about women's soccer. She might even be pulled on to talk about men's soccer. You know, and maybe the Euros coming up, things like that. But the attitude is just so gross. It's so gross. And it makes it hard as a person of faith to have a conversation with other people. Because they read ESPN, they read the headlines, they go, oh, well, yeah, we got to support the trans, or, hey, we can't make these kind of jokes, or, hey, we got to, you know, treat everybody with kid gloves. Everybody's a winner. Everything must be good all the time. And God is love, it means he loves everybody. Yeah, he loves everybody, but sin is sin, wrong is wrong. It's pretty black and white, but you go from having a conversation to a one-sided yelling fest, and nothing gets sorted out that way. So, yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
You know, I seen there's a teacher in a high school in San Diego who identifies as non-binary, and they had a pep rally, or there was a game or some sort going on, high school game, and they brought in some veterans. It was Remembrance Day this last weekend, Veterans Day for the States, and they brought in some veterans, and they wanted to honor them, and in front of all the people, of all the classmates or the students that she had, she sat down for the anthem, and all this kinds of stuff, and I'm just thinking, like, you know, talk about self-serving. Like, look at how we got to where we are at in Canada, and those who laid down their lives in America as well. Like, they did that for freedom of speech, and they did that for freedoms, right? And they can have their ideas and their freedoms that are differing than mine. That's fine. But for them to say that I'm not allowed to have my thoughts and my freedoms is I can't stand for that. And on top of that, what scripture says is we are to die to ourselves. Our when we become Christ followers, it says our old ways, they're done. They're forgotten, they're forgiven, and we've been made new. So that's when, if you've ever heard the term born again, that's being made new. You're not physically being reborn again. That's weird. But you are made new. Your life has, there's a transformation that happens within you. It's a heart change. I call it a heart transplant that happens. And that's where you see such a huge difference. So I guess for those that are wondering, how do you talk to someone who, you know, is fighting for certain things or won't let you, you know, share what you believe in? I think it starts with how you operate as a human, how you operate as a Christ follower. Like, are you going to live out being self-serving? Are you going to love unconditionally? Are you going to bless those who curse you? Are you going to love your enemies? Like, those things set Christ followers apart and show others that we are different from the ways of this world. And that's something we are called to do and need to do. And you can do that, in whether it's in sports or whether it's in your job or students or whatever you are, right? It's a
just to tail on to that point, just like little children watch their parents, right? They watch what they do, and hear what they say, and they copy that. People will notice how you live your life. And, you know, I have a handful of stories where people are like, why are you so weird? And you're always so nice to people. Yeah, I mean, that's how I want to be treated, and that's, you know, what Jesus said, treat others like you treat themselves. And treat yourself, sorry. And they're like, oh, so you go to church? Yeah. And at work, you know, they ask me, oh, what'd you guys do this weekend? I'm like, oh, Saturday to work for my dad, did this. Sunday was at the church again, helping my brother. And like, oh, you go to church every week? Yeah, I go to church every week. And it's not like I'm going to be giving them a full message that day, but it's like, I'm still going to say, I'm not going to hide that I went to church, or that I'm volunteering on the tech team, or that my brother's a pastor. Like, that's part of my identity. It's a part of what's important to me. And so, am I perfect? Absolutely not. Those of you who know me and hang out with me, you know I'm not perfect. You know that I make mistakes all the time. Doesn't mean I'm not working on it. Doesn't mean that I'm not in a relationship with Christ and, you know, trying to emulate God as best I can. But we're humans, we're going to fall short. But it's the little things that you do when you don't think anybody's watching that people will find out. People will find out, and they'll be like, this is somebody of integrity. And you don't, again, like I think we talked a few pods ago, you don't have to be the one to watch the seed blossom and grow into somebody becoming a Christian in your faith, in their faith. You could be the one God saying, hey, plant the seed. Or, hey, water the seed. Fertilize it. You may not know what your actions and your responsibilities are for that person's life. And you may never see that come to fruition. Maybe they move away and they find God through a different avenue, but you've planted something by being obedient. And I think that's the biggest thing is, yeah, people are always, always, always going to yell out the headlines. They're going to take uneducated hot takes out there. The easy thing is always to side with what's popular the day. I'll give you an example, BLM. A couple of things. They were rioting. People were rioting under the guise of BLM, but we said it's okay because they're black. Come on. Right? That makes zero sense. That makes zero sense. And where's all the money that's gone that's been fundraised? We don't know. It's in houses and mansions. We can't talk about it. We can't call it out because, oh, hey, don't be racist. It's not racist to say you can't steal something. Wow. It's not racist to say you can't steal something or break property or, you know, break the rules. That's not a racist statement.
No.
Right? And so we have to be conscientious of how we portray things and use tact. But it's also, truth is truth. That's something I've been, you know, kind of thinking about is like, you have to speak the truth, whether it's popular or not. How you say it is obviously important. How you live it out is important. But it's really black and white. Cutting off heads of people,
bad.
Killing babies, bad. That's wrong.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're saying, I'll give you an easy example. The Crusades, when they first invaded Jerusalem and slaughtered all the Muslims in the city, that's not good.
Nope.
That's not right. Even though you're saying, oh, under the guise of God told me to. No.
No.
That's completely different. This is not the Old Testament we're talking about. Right? Same thing with Hamas. Same thing. I know we're using a lot of trigger words here today, and that's fine. Same thing with, you know, abortion. These are hot topics, quote unquote, but there's truth that needs to be talked about. Now, am I going to go and yell at somebody's house and picket and whatever? No. But I'm going to do my research. And again, you can't be an expert in everything, but I'm going to try and educate myself a little bit, read what the Bible says, and move on from there. And that's all you can do is show the love of God, be truthful, be obedient, and trust in Him. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, humans live in this box. God has no box. So you just do your part and leave the heavy lifting to Jesus.
I love it. I've been so inspired. Last week we talked about Kirk Cousins and how he's been living out his faith. This week I want to highlight two guys. I mentioned earlier in this week that I could just do a CJ Stroud podcast on its own because I love how he plays. He's electric. He's in the MVP race as a rookie. That's crazy. He's doing so well, and he's living out his faith amongst all the challenges, life challenges and sports challenges, all those things that come into play. He's living out his faith. And I also want to highlight Jonathan Isaac, Thursday, November 16th, when this pod's dropping. That is his day of the release of, it's called the Judah One. That's his shoe that he's putting out. And his clothing line, Unitas, is basically all about standing for things that are just and right and things that amplify what the Bible has to say compared to a lot of these companies that are self-serving, that bottom line is their dollar and they're going to get to that dollar any kind of way. Doesn't matter if they exploit people and exploit even countries and all those kinds of things. So that's why... Yep. Big shout out to those two guys. They've inspired me this week. I have signed up for notifications for that Judah One coming out. And I'm excited to, you know, spend the money and support him. And because I believe in that. I believe in all that's good. And I think that's an encouraging thing. There should be alternatives to Nike and Adidas and all that kind of stuff, right? So,
absolutely. You're right. And like, good luck getting the judo ones, only because you have a very common men's size shoe. So that's going to be tough to cop. I'm just, you know, I'm signed up too, but
I'm hoping it's like a thing where you can put in your order and they make it to order. That's what I heard that it's going to be. So you'll get it in like 2 months instead of like 1 month, but
okay. We'll have to wait and see. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, big shout out to those guys. I think Jonathan Isaac was really ostracized for his faith. Massively. In the NBA.
Yeah.
I think he's playing really well.
Yeah.
And that's a testament to, hey, blocking things out and speaking the truth. Any sort of advice for our listeners out there, what people are watching, about how to, I don't want to say put on the full armor of God, but kind of like prep yourself to have difficult conversations?
Yeah, I think to prep yourself, always you got to have the understand it's a spiritual battle, understand that you got to pray and give it to God. Understand that no matter what, even if you have the ability to out-logic someone and give better arguments and give better statements that they can create for themselves, yeah, most likely you're not going to logic them into Christianity, into a life, into a relationship with Jesus, into believing that he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I think, yes, you should have, always strive to have that ability because it'll increase your faith. But what's really going to change someone, what's really going to help them see change in their lives is for you to live it out through loving them like the way God loves you, going the extra mile for them, showing them that they actually matter, that they have purpose bigger than even life here on earth. It's bigger than that because we know that there's so much more than to just life here on earth. Here, that's just temporary. And most people are living for the for that here on earth now, right? They're living for get as much money as possible and they'll be secure, live a good life that way. That's not what the scripture tells us to do, right? We're living for the kingdom of heaven. We're citizens there and we got to share that message and we got to live that out. So love them unconditionally, even if there's someone so opposing to you, like Miss Rapinoe Rapinoe. If I had a chance to chat with her and I'm not going to argue with her about the facts and all that kind of stuff. I know I could beat her in a debate and I could prove her wrong in so many ways. But what I could do is minister to her heart, saying, hey, that, you know, there's more to life than this. And you've reached the top echelon of your field in sports. And if you're being honest with yourself, you know that there's not enough satisfaction even in being the best of the best at your sport. There's more to life than this. And that can go for everybody and anyone. So that's my encouragement. Sorry, I'm preaching. I'm the sports reverend. You know, you put a mic in front of me. I gotta start speaking and preaching. That's what I do.
It's what we're here for. To honor and glorify God through our words, right? So
yes, sir.
Awesome. I appreciate that. I think we had a good convo about that. Megan, if you're ever listening, we'd love to have you on. Love to have you on. But more importantly, CJ Stroud and Jonathan.
Come on.
If you guys ever, you know, want to chat, hit us up. Maybe you can link the United's website in the YouTube comments or the description. Send some traffic that way. But yeah, I think that's awesome. Let's pay the bills a little further as we move on to the next topic. And we'll close up with some NBA talk. Train to Invest, www.train2invest.com. Check us out. Download the ebook if you are looking for a way to change your life. And I honestly mean this is a way to change your life. What we do is we teach you a methodology in how to trade in the stock market. A lot of times, people think it's gambling. People think it's got to have a secret system or you have to be incredibly smart to do this. The answer to that is no, it's not gambling. You don't have to have a crazy, amazing system. It's very simple. And you don't have to be that intelligent to do this. You just have to be able to follow rules. If you can follow rules, you can do this. Personally, I've taught people without a graded education. I've taught grandmas who don't know how to use a computer. And we got them trading, up and trading. But the whole idea is to arm you with skills that you can pass on to your children, that they can pass on to their children, to demystify the stock market. We do a lot of the work for you, and we teach you a, again, methodology in how to trade in any market. And so if you're looking for, you know, a second income stream, if you're looking to what to do with your retirement, and if you looked at your statements recently from your brokers or your RRSPs, and you're seeing a single digit there, check us out. Share the ebook, download it, reach out to us, and all our contact information is on the website. And yeah, look forward to helping you get to where you need to go. Again, it's www.train2invest.com, train to invest. And yeah, get ready to get started in the next phase of your journey.
Coach, do you remember the year Train to Invest began?
Yep, 2004.
2004. We're coming up on 20. Is that 20 years or
We're at 19.
Next year is 20 years of Train to Invest going strong. That's crazy. Crazy. I just want to put that out there.
I love that you say this 20 years, but it also reminds me that I'm 20 years out of high school. So that's a different challenge altogether. But yeah, 20 years, changing people's lives. And
it's amazing. It's amazing.
Let us help you change yours. Check us out.
All right, what's next, Coach?
We're hitting the 40-minute mark here. Let's roll here. Contenders, pretenders in the NBA. I won't hit you with a ton. I just want initial thoughts and just, you know, the first thing comes to your mind. Okay. Sixth in the East, the Bucks. Contender, pretender.
Like, am I supposed to give what I think that's going to happen or what they are right now?
Are they contenders or are they pretenders? Where are they based and where they're at right now?
I think they're contenders.
Yeah.
They look old. They'll put it together. Yeah. They're going to put it together. They're beating the Raptors by like 30 right now. So,
is Giannis not playing?
Giannis not playing. No OG or Trent either, but still.
Still.
Stop it.
Still. Sucks to be those guys who bought those tickets, eh?
Yep.
The Miami Heat sitting fifth.
Pretenders.
Okay. This is a tougher one.
Off the Heat bandwagon now.
Oh, I guess they're sitting fourth. Sorry, they're off the Heat bandwagon. Don't blame you. Surprise, surprise. Pacers.
Pretenders.
How do you feel about those? Pretenders.
Absolute pretenders. They can put up points, can't play defense. Playoffs is a whole different game, too. Stop it with this noise. Obi Toppin, please.
I don't know. I'm a big Haliburton fan. I think they can make the second round. Celtics.
Absolute contenders. Beasts.
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
And the number one seed, surprisingly, 76ers. Okay.
They are...
Okay.
Good. I'll put them in the contenders. They're good enough to be there as contenders. I still think they're a level below the Bucks and the Celtics.
But they're playing the Celtics tonight.
Shout out to Nick Nurse.
Yeah. They're playing the Celtics tonight. So if it's close, I think it's something to say there. Looking at sitting, I think, number 10th in the West, Phoenix.
They haven't had all three guys playing together. The super team hasn't been playing together yet. So I'm putting them off to the side for now, but I do believe in them that they'll come back and they'll make the playoffs and they'll be real.
Okay, we'll go non-applicable. Golden State Warriors.
Also, if healthy, obviously this is barring if everyone's healthy. If they're fully healthy, they are contenders.
I'm gonna disagree with you. I think they're pretenders. I think Wiggins isn't looking good. I think Draymond got paid and now is being a complete buffoon. And I don't think they can stay healthy. I think that's gonna be their undoing.
If they're Curry's not healthy, then no.
Yeah.
But that said, we're saying that everyone's healthy.
No, I still don't feel it. The Lakers.
Pretenders.
Okay.
Pretenders. They have to have LeBron James on the court. When he's off the court, they are royally awful. And he's not the guy to be able to do that at his age. Almost 39 years old.
Man's played some years. AD is not that guy either.
No.
OKC.
They're not there yet. They're on their way.
Yeah.
Not there yet. They're on their way.
Big surprise here. Rockets.
Fourth in the West. Super pretenders.
You know, Freddie VanVleet, come on now.
Yeah, no, it's not going to last. I guarantee that. So.
Wow. Will they be top eight?
No.
Wow, okay. Okay. Mavs, looking good. Number three?
Mavs are contenders.
Okay.
They have built the team around Luka and Kyrie. They look nice. Good for them.
They look nice.
They are
a top... I saw a headline...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
I just said they're top. They're the best three-point shooting team in a three-point shooting league. They're contenders.
Yeah. I saw a headline saying Luka's tired of Kyrie's BS. That was the headline. I'm like, whoa, okay. Opened it up. Kyrie said, oh, I'm tired for the game. And dropped, I think, 37 double-digit assists and almost got a triple-double.
Yeah. They both
so it's like 30. It's a good camaraderie that they have, it looks like. So
yeah, yeah.
Hopefully it lasts. The T-Wolves, surprisingly, number two.
Pretenders.
Oh, you don't think Ant can get it done, hey?
I like Ant. I just think they're built incorrectly. They got to move probably Karl Anthony Towns, make Ant the guy, get some more assets around it. Ant.
Yeah, I like it. All right, pretenders will say, and obviously the Nuggets. Top of the West here.
Yeah, Nuggets are absolute beasts.
Absolutely. So. Undeniably.
Cool. Jokic, best player in the league.
Somebody said, phrased it really weirdly. I think it was somebody was the best American player. I was like, that's kind of a weird distinction all of a sudden to have to make. Because, overseas, is the game's growing rapidly, and I love it. I love it. That's it for us today. Great pod. Good, real talk, as always. And make sure you share us on YouTube and on all the social medias. Subscribe to the channel. Help it grow. And really not for our sake, but to get the good word out there. Twitter, check us out. Facebook for you old heads who are on there. Shout out to Daryl Rempel. He's probably on there somewhere. And Instagram, call him Beauchamp. And share, like, subscribe, do the things with the things. And if you're looking to get involved in Urban Hope, check out the website. Links for donation are there.
What if they're looking for a church online?
I mean, they can also go to the website there as well.
Yeah.
All right. If you're looking for a Wednesday, if you're Sunday, 10 o'clock Central, 11 o'clock Eastern, check out CITC. Peace.
Peace.